All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast. This is Casey, one of the many three hosts that you have here. And then we also got Josh and Vince and Josh and Vince's cat in the house tonight. So it's going to be a fun episode. Vince's I love your cat, Vince, so I just had to invite the cat in. But anyhow, we're here. We're talking another movie. In fact, you know the title. We're talking Kingsman. Secret Service, right? Is that how it is titled? I forget.
That's the one. I hope so. That's the one I watched. So.
Kingsman number one.
Kingsman number one. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have a lot to say about this movie because I friggin' loved it. And we'll have some good words about it. But before we get going, I just want to catch you guys up on a quick thing. And I'm ready to see your expressions and hear your feedback. Vince just talked about going to probably the greatest chicken sandwich place known to man, at least here in Utah. You're making my mouth salivate over here, Vince. And I have some news that might surprise both of you.
You're starting a chicken shop.
No, I'm going vegetarian for 30 days.
Whoa. Mr. Hot Dog Pie over here.
It was too much for him. After that, he just couldn't handle the meat anymore.
Oh, I guarantee you ate that hot dog pie and you're like, I'm never going to eat another piece of meat again because that was disgusting.
Actually, no, like, I don't even care. I'm still for meat. Like, I love meat, but my wife decided to go vegetarian. I was like, freak, I'll just try it for 30 days. Like, what can it hurt? Like,
yeah, heck yeah, that's awesome, man.
There's enough, like, plant-based alternatives that I can go for. Like, Josh saw this last night. Vince, I don't think you're doing Instagram right now, but I went to IKEA and I got their plant-based alternative meatless meatballs, and they're freaking good.
Yeah, they're not bad, huh?
No, I ate half a bag last night, so it was delightful. I loved it.
So as you already know, my little sister's been vegetarian for a long, long time, since like she was in high school. I can't remember exactly when she decided she wasn't eating meat. But because of that, I've tried all sorts of vegetarian things. And that fake meat that they have going on, it's pretty convincing. Like, it's not as good, in my opinion, but once you get all the, like, condiments and stuff, like on a hamburger, you really can't tell the difference.
Not really. Yeah, it's surprising what they can do. They're actually learning to 3D print steaks right now. Like, with it, they're using a 3D printer and the fake meat to make steaks, and I really want to try one so bad.
I love that.
But you know, I just wanted to surprise you guys, because I'm the biggest meat guy ever, and I'm like, I'm going vegetarian.
This is a whole nother conversation. I don't mean to spur, but I remember in the office one time, this is before you started, Josh, we had this conversation that got me many a strange look among my coworkers, because it was when this whole like cloning people's skin, like cloning people's meat, was like in the news. And we got talking about how, like, if you're cloning people's skin, where does that like draw the line of morality? You know, like, when does that become cannibalism? Like, if you're eating artificially grown meat based on a person, is that still cannibalism, or is that just eating artificial meat, you know? And it spurred this whole conversation that we just went off the deep end of, like, if it's not morally bad, what are you willing to pay to eat a piece of Brad Pitt's meat or something like that? Oh, that sounded really dirty.
Vince, no.
It's a whole thing.
We'll have to put the warning on this one when you put it on YouTube now.
It's Halloween season, guys. Anything goes.
Anyway, congratulations, man. That's cool. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about alternative foods and like just things I didn't actually expect to enjoy, and it's been fun. Like, I'm a huge fan of mushrooms.
Oh, me too.
So it's really easy for me to be like, oh, I'm just throwing mushrooms in there to give it a meatier texture. But my wife isn't such a fan of mushrooms, and so I've had to like look outside of the box to see what other like kind of like meatier sources there are. And so it's a lot of fun. I don't know. But now that we're behind my little side note, that I wanted to tell everyone that I'm trying 30 days meatless. And
but wait, I just had to mention this, Casey. I can just see you with the mushrooms comment. I can see you, even though you're all for going the vegetarian, being like Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec, going over to the grill and being like, oh, yes, the meat, and being like, what is this? And he's like, it's a portobello mushroom. He's just like, no, where's the steak? At least that'll be me. I'll come over to your house, Case, and I'll be like, ah, yes, the meat, and it's mushrooms.
Guys, no, like, you will be like, the alternative meat is, I feel like I'm like, evangelizing here, like the alternative meat seed, but I made some tacos the other day and straight up, like, the meat was great. Like we just did like beans and mixture in with this alternative meat. It was good, but I'm not here to evangelize this. I'm not one of those people who you go to the bar and you're like, how do you know if someone's a CrossFitter, a vegetarian, or whatever? It's because they all tell you. I'm not trying to like be that person, right? I'm just more or less just being like, it's like a fun new development in my life that I never thought I would be doing for like serious. Cause I dabbled around with like vegetarianism and veganism when I was in high school, just to be angsty and stupid and a little bit in my early days of college, but it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I've done enough research in life that I'm like, lots of options. So we'll have to see if I make it, because I'm not going to lie to you guys, a real meaty hamburger just sounds so juicy and tasty right now with some nice melted cheese. Yeah, that's what I'm going for. But maybe I'll just go get some, you know, Beyond Meat and be fine. But aside from the point, again, we're here to talk movies, guys. It's been a minute. But Vince, what have you been watching? Anything noteworthy, new or fun?
I've got three movies. You can tell me which one you want to know more about. I've watched in the last few weeks An American Pickle, Motherless Brooklyn, and Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Bill and Ted Face the Music is a delight, guys. It was such a good time. It's like one of my friends texted me and he's just like, this is the movie that 2020 needed right now. And it, after watching it, I can't believe how truthful that statement is. This is a movie about one song that unites not only the world, but the universe, alternate dimensions, everything. And this is what we need. We need that one song made by Bill and Ted to finally unite us. Anyway, it's just it's great, guys. I really enjoyed it. It was funny. It's nice to see those two actors back in their roles. I chuckled out loud a few times, and you know, for the past few days I've been sitting over here doing the air guitars.
What's that?
So yeah, check it out. It's really good. It's really good. It's worth the money.
Was it a most excellent adventure?
It was a most excellent adventure. I can't do it.
Party on, dudes.
I've been wanting to watch it, but I haven't like quite like dipped my toe that far as to be like, Allie, this is what I'm doing. Like, accept it.
It made me want to go back and watch the first two over again.
Well, that's how I want to watch them, is in sequence, and then watch this one where they're like old men. So it should be fun.
It's Josh. Weird seeing Keanu Reeves try to do that role again, though. That's the only complaint I have. Like, he's just not that guy anymore. And it's hard to buy him as that guy. Yeah. Also, even
from the trailer, you're like, this guy's not that dumb.
Yeah. And also, I can't believe how much better looking Keanu Reeves is with a beard versus without the beard. A beard changes a man, apparently.
The beard is like the makeup of the man. Like, it's just an all natural makeup and it does wonders. Yeah. I've shaved and I've been like, oh god, who is this guy? Josh, what is up, man? What have you been watching? What's new for you?
Vince, I'm expecting after that statement for you not to shave anything for like 3 years, okay? Just, I want a full-fledged beard out there.
This is the longest it's been for a while, which isn't even that long. Good, it's like, man, maybe 2 weeks, maybe.
Looking fire. I'm doing good. A lot of stuff. Just trying to think of the best things. I definitely am loving Schitt's Creek right now. I'm going through a lot of Schitt's Creek. I just finished season 3. Yeah, dude, it's going really good. I like it. And it's just, my aunt told me it keeps getting better. And a lot of times when people say that about TV shows, it's not really true. but it really is getting better. And I mean, I'm only just starting season 4, and obviously this final season that they did completely like swept the Emmys, so I'm super excited to get there because it's just amazing, I guess, because it's really good. Have you already seen that one, Vince? Like the newest season?
No, I fell off the last season. I never finished it.
Well, yeah, it's like hard to like watch on TV, but now it's the final season is going to be on Netflix, I think, here in a couple of days. So it'll be good for me that I'll just be able to watch through all the way. So that'll be nice. That's definitely a big thing. I started rewatching How I Met Your Mother. Always a classic. The first I've seen it once before, and it was one of my favorite shows, and it still is. And so I just decided, hey, I need to watch this again. It's really good. So I've been doing that. And besides that, not a lot, honestly. I've been obviously football season's back, so I'm watching football, and I'm in my last semester of school. So between that and working full time, I don't watch a ton at night besides like a TV show or two. I find it hard to like sit down and watch a movie, except for I'm trying to remember when our last podcast was. I don't remember if I already talked about it. Did I already mention watching The Devil All the Time?
No, I don't think
so. Okay, yo, The Devil All the Time on Netflix. It's a very slow burn. It's by Antonio Campos, who's very good. Robert Pattinson, I did not know I could hate Robert Pattinson so much. And it was awesome, and I loved it. And Tom Holland played the freaking role of his life. It was incredible to see him so far from that Peter Parker vibes. I loved it. Like, don't get me wrong, him as Peter Parker is amazing, but to see like the real depth that he has to be able to take a completely different character, different accent, all of these other things, and just make it this raw, really sort of brutal film that is, like I said, extremely slow burn, but like very worth it in watching all of the connections and everything that happens. It's definitely worth some time. Like, be warned, like it is like pretty like brutal at times, but it is a good show. So I'd recommend that to anyone as well.
I have heard good things, so maybe I'll have to look into it because I'm looking for something new. Just to branch off that, I don't really know the kind of what everyone's doing because today is October 1st. I began spooky season September 1st, and so started getting into the thrilling films then. But we watched Antebellum, which is a very impressive film. I will have to say that because I'm curious why people didn't like it as much, but it is so fantastic. It's a well-told story, and it's kind of a mind trip. Like it'll mess you up a lot for a minute there. So it's good. I'd recommend that. It was new release, so we did that. Then I watched the entire Ratched series based off of Nurse Ratched from, I think it's called A Bird Flew from the Cuckoo's Nest, if I'm right.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, that one right there. We watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then we watched the Ratched series. Ratched was amazing. It was good. It was like shot with a 1950s vibe. It really gave me that Mad Men feel, and I love Mad Men, guys. John Hamm, but he wasn't in Ratched, so it was good. And I forget the leading lady, what her name is, but she did just a fantastic job. And then finally, I just started this today. And I'm super pumped on it because I've watched the other two in the series that they've done. But I'm watching Ewan McGregor's The Long Way Up that's on Apple TV Plus. It's essentially him and one of his buddies. They've done multiple motorcycle trips. They went from Europe to Asia, the farthest east point you can go in Asia. And they went from London all the way down to the southern tip of Africa. And on this one, they're taking electric bikes from the most southern tip of the Americas all the way up to Los Angeles, which is super cool. And it's like the type of adventure like I thirst for all the time. And I think Ewan McGregor's an amazing actor. So this makes me excited. So it'll be a lot of fun to kind of watch and do that journey. Jeez,
that's possible. I thought like some way, like, I don't know the way they go, but like through like Argentina or Chile, like they can get their electric motorcycles to go that far. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, some stretches there that it's a long ways, man.
Well, what they did was they partnered with Harley Davidson and another electric company called Rivian, and they like those electric companies actually set up charging stations along the way every few hundred miles. And so essentially Harley Davidson introduced their first electric motorcycle with these guys, and Rivian built two custom test vehicles for them to take with them on this trip. So it's kind of like a marketing for those two, but it's also a big experiment to see if it can be done. But yeah, it seems like it would be a little bit crazy. So
that's awesome.
I'm excited. I really want to buy some old. No, they're riding bikes.
It's a movie reference.
Oh. Sorry, I didn't catch up on all the movie references, but anyhow.
It's a pretty vague one.
Oh.
Yeah, move on.
I feel like that joke's gone tits up. Sorry, man, I ruined it. Yeah, there's another movie reference.
Streets Behind.
Yeah. But should we get into the movie, guys? Should we talk about this?
Real quick before we jump into the movie, we just need to have a moment of silence for our dearly beloved fallen favorite TV series dash one of our favorite franchises of all time. Rest in peace, The Dark Crystal Netflix TV series. We barely knew you.
I close my eyes. I look back at the moment and the moment's gone.
Bye, my lover.
It deserves so much more, though. I'm not gonna lie, Vince, I would have loved another series of that. From what I watched, I never completed it, and this is my own fault, right? But I enjoyed it, and if there was more, I guarantee I would have watched more.
Yeah, I'm rewatching the series just to say my goodbyes. I'm finishing the last book in the young adult series novels. I only have about 15 pages left, and the books end at the same time as the TV series, the first season of the TV series. So hopefully, I mean, Jim Henson Company says that they are going to finish this story that they've started. They just don't know how at this point. So it could be comic books, could be novels, maybe another network will pick it up.
Yahoo screens. Like YouTube or whatever it is.
YouTube TV. It's YouTube TV.
Yeah, that went well. They're giving their stuff away to Netflix at this point. Anyway, let's get into Kingsman.
Okay, let's get into that. I'm pretty excited. So this is a movie I had only seen about it, and I was kind of confused because I thought it was like based off of some of the early images I thought and some of the scenes I saw. I was like, this is some sort of weird Samuel L. Jackson spy movie. I don't know. And I wasn't quite sure about the promotional material I'd seen. So when Vince brought it up, I'm not joking. I was like, okay, I have to break down and watch this. Like, I've heard they're good, but I've never watched it. I loved it. I loved it so much. Yeah. Like, it filled the void I've been needing in movies. So, Vince, let's break this down. You got some info for us?
Yeah, I do. So, the movie, directed by Matthew Vaughn and written by him and Jane Goldman, released February 13th of 2015 with a budget of $81 million. It has so far grossed around $415 million. Rotten Tomatoes, critics have given it a 74%. It's gotten an audience score of 84%, and IMDb has given it 7.7. While I was looking this up, I found the director and I was like, oh, Matthew Vaughn. I like Matthew Vaughn. He did First Class. He did this. What else has he done? And I went and I looked at his stuff. And other than another movie called Layer Cake, there's not a lot that I've done. But like, oh, and Kick-Ass. He did Kick-Ass too, I'm pretty sure. But I just got thinking, like, where has he been? Like, he's done three or four movies that were pretty big movies that I really enjoyed and then just vanished, you know? Turns out he produces a lot of movies and just is making money doing the producing thing. And I think he's coming back to do The King's Man, but I could be wrong. I have to double check that. So the movie is starring Colin Firth as Harry Hart or Galahad, Taron Egerton as Eggsy, Sophia Cookson as Roxy, Samuel Jackson as Valentine, Michael Caine as Arthur, Mark Strong as Merlin, and Sophia Boutella as Gazelle. Lots of casting considerations for this one. I can hurry and just bullet list them real quick. First off, for Roxy, they considered Emma Watson and Bella Heathcote. Emma Watson's great in everything she's in, so I would have loved to see her in this, but I feel like Sophia Cookson did great. For the role of Gazelle, they actually were going to hire a double amputee snowboarder named Amy Purdy. She was on Dancing with the Stars. She's like I said, she's an Olympian. But when filming was delayed, she dropped out so she wouldn't miss the Olympics. For the role of Valentine, they considered three actors, according to IMDb. One, Leonardo DiCaprio. Two, Tom Cruise. And three, Idris Elba. So far out of any of these that I've mentioned, would you replace them with who they officially casted?
So they were just shooting for the stars no matter what. They said, we know this one had to be a big one. And that's hard because I think that, because you can imagine Leonardo DiCaprio being that sort of over the top role as well, and Idris Elba, maybe a more somber part, but also doing it. I like Samuel Jackson. Don't get me wrong. I think that if it went the other way, I might be here saying, nah, man, I think Leonardo DiCaprio was the one for the role, but as it stands right now, I liked it.
I'm going to go. I like Samuel L. Jackson. He did great. He brought just the right amount of Samuel L. Jackson flair to the table. But Tom freaking Cruise, man, that guy is creepy. The acting from American Psycho was based off of him. So, he would have done a good job. He's a freaking maniac, that guy. He would have showed up and really just shaken his head and spat a little bit and we would have enjoyed it. I don't know, Tom Cruise would have done Tom Cruise things, but I think for this, Samuel Jackson brought a very unique flair to the character. When we think of business moguls, a lot of times we obviously know they're imperfect, but having something as disabling as a lisp or a speech impediment is something very rare that you actually really see on the front end stage of a lot of leaders and villains. And so it's very cool to see this guy who's he's a mixture too. I feel in a way he was a pawn in some things, but in others not so much, because that lady with the freaking knife legs was pretty freaking rad, but she also I feel was really pushing him and egging him on to complete the master plan in ways. So I don't know. Yeah. Vince, what do you think?
I'm totally with you guys. I don't think Samuel Jackson could have been replaced in this role. And I'm very impressed with, I don't know, Samuel Jackson's just a master. You go and you see him in these tough guy movies and he's so believable. And then you come and you see him in this and he plays this kind of nerdy, well-dressed tech billionaire. Like you said, Casey, with a lisp, who just can't stand the sight of violence and blood makes him throw up, and he's almost weak. He's this crazy over the top villain just with these really unique quirks. I'm with you. I don't think he could have been replaced. I can't imagine, as good as Leonardo DiCaprio is, I can't imagine him doing the same thing as what Samuel Jackson did with the character in this. So last little thing about casting considerations, they actually screen tested 60 actors before they came upon or decided to go with Taron Egerton. So, and I'm pretty sure this was kind of his breakout role. This is the first thing I had ever seen him in. And then he went and he did Eddie the Eagle, which might have been a Matthew Vaughn movie too. I should probably have researched this more.
Eddie the Eagle is so good. I just want to say that. I loved Eddie the Eagle, and the story behind it is also pretty great too. So mm-hmm.
It's not a Matthew Vaughn movie. It's a Dexter Fletcher apparently directed it. Anyway, maybe he produced it. Who knows? IMDb it.
Yeah.
And then the last person that was considered to play Eggsy before they cast Egerton was Aaron Taylor Johnson. They offered him the role, but he declined. And then they planned to bring him in for the third installment of the franchise, which is The King's Man. Or sorry, they didn't plan for it, but he ended up joining the next one. And that's it. So, Casey, you liked the movie. Josh.
Oh, yes.
This is your first time seeing it as well, right?
Yes, correct.
What did you think?
I liked the movie, and I was surprised in a way because I didn't know a lot about the movie coming into it. And so I honestly was kind of the opposite of Casey, where I didn't know very much and I'd only remembered small bits and pieces from the trailers. And so I was picturing a very like serious, like James Bond, British intelligence, like style thing, where like it kind of is like sort of like that, like intelligence part, but just I was picturing very serious, like all of these like super like stunts, but more just like down to earth, like gunfights and like all this other things like that. When really it's like chaos and just like the movie is in like an insanely over the top and like not in a bad way, but like overly like dramatic, like action movie. Right. Cause there's a lot of things that happen that are sort of like crazy and wild. But I think the first time where I just was like, what just happened was when the guy showed up and Gazelle just slices that man in half. Like, I was just like, whoa, like, what just happened? Because obviously it just looks so like crazy and like insane that I was like, what is happening right now? Like, I don't understand, but it was really over the top and really crazy. And I loved it. I thought it was really good. And I definitely will be checking out the second and then the third one when it comes out.
Wait, sorry, Vin, Josh, I love that and I'm glad, and I don't want to skip over this, but did we say that Mark Hamill has a feature in this? Did I miss that?
Oh, I didn't put him in the rundown because he wasn't in very long, but yes, Mark Hamill is in this, and I have a fun Easter egg on why he is in this.
Well, his voice sounded just like the Joker for a little bit in it, like when he's doing it. But what's your Easter egg? Sorry, Josh, proud of you. I love what you had to say, but like I just had to bring up Mark Hamill. But I'm glad you kind of came into this blind. Was that kind of nice to come into it blind, Josh, or was it kind of whatever?
It was just interesting because I wasn't expecting this over the top crazy like action film. I also had no clue who was in it, so when we had people like Mark Hamill and Samuel Jackson showing up, I was like, what the, and Michael Caine, and like I was just like, whoa, like this is crazy. Like, I wasn't expecting this for the movie. So it was definitely very cool to come in and like being prepared. Not like that I wouldn't think Vince would make a good recommendation, but I was prepared to be like underwhelmed. And then I was like very overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
Yeah.
And that, sorry, I completely left this out of the rundown earlier. The movie is based on a comic book. It debuted in 2012. Titled Kingsman: The Secret Service. There's a couple of sequels written by Mark Millar, who's a comic book legend, and illustrated by Dave Gibbons. Apparently, there's only three characters in the entire movie that actually were pulled from the comic books. And the Easter egg with Mark Hamill, I don't remember who those three characters are. Sorry. Oh, no, I have it right here. Gazelle apparently was in the original comic book. Dr. James Arnold, who was Mark Hamill's character, and who they changed to be a professor, was in it. And Gary London, who is now Gary Unwin. I don't know who that character was. So the reason that Mark Hamill plays Dr. James Arnold, though, apparently in the comic book, the very first celebrity to be kidnapped was Mark Hamill. And so they started off the movie kidnapping Mark Hamill, who plays the professor, as a reference to the comic book, which I thought was really cool. And it's always fun to see Mark Hamill and stuff. Casey, I totally agree with you. I can't not hear Mark Hamill's voice no matter what he does. He always does. It's just so recognizable at this point. You know, it's just Mark Hamill doing the Joker as this character. Mark Hamill doing a Skeksis. But sounds exactly like the Joker. Mark Hamill's one of the Skeksis, by the way.
Yeah.
Back to the Dark Crystal.
I actually don't ever think of Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker anymore. Like, that's kind of weird to say because it was such a thing. But yeah. Anyhow, we can get off our Mark Hamill train that I brought us to, and the Skeksis and everything. I just took us back four steps. But Vince, why did you recommend this movie to us?
So I was the opposite of you guys. I ate up every bit of promotion that this movie had when it came out, because I grew up with my cousin Andy, who was on our Skyfall episode, who was just a huge fan of the James Bond movies. So, you know, I've been into James Bond since I was a little kid, because my dad was into it. We had all the old movies laying around. My cousin was super into it. Just James Bond was a thing. And so when this started to be promoted, it was like, oh, look at this new modern take on a James Bond film. I was just sold, you know. And I'm just a sucker for over the top action blockbusters. And that's what this movie delivers in force, is over the top action, well done action, you know. So I don't know. I saw it forever ago, and it's been one that I've been wanting to rewatch for a long time, but it hasn't been on streaming. And The King's Man is coming up, and there was a sale on Apple, on iTunes, for both movies for $10. So I was like, well, we're doing this. Sorry, guys. Hope you're into it. But it's fun. Like, it's a James Bond movie for millennials, I feel like. It's fast paced. It's got all the references to a James Bond movie. It's got the over the top villain who has his, you know, underground mountain lair, who just has this over the top take over the world type plan. It's got your memorable muscle, kind of the villain's muscle, who has some special quirk, you know. Like in this one, it's Gazelle, who has her sword legs. In the James Bond movies, you got characters like Oddjob, who is a little person who throws his hat at people, you know, that's his quirk, and his hat like hurts people. Or there's the opposite on the other end of the spectrum, Jaws, who in the James Bond series, Jaws, who is this giant man with metal teeth, you know. Mm-hmm. Just all these characters from the old James Bonds had these quirks, and both Valentine and Gazelle had this. And I love that they just reference the James Bond movies through the whole thing, you know. It's just absolutely great, and it's just a lot of fun. It's funny. It's entertaining. It's just one you can sit back and enjoy. And yeah, it's good. So I just have to ask you guys after, and Josh, I'm especially interested in your answer to this, because again, you're new to this James Bond franchise. And Casey, I do want to hear your opinion too. It's just, Josh is a little bit younger than us and has no experience in these types of things, or in this type of movie. What do you prefer? Do you prefer the serious, and both of you guys, do you prefer the like serious James Bond movies that we're getting now? Or do you enjoy this like over the top, silly, let's not take ourselves too seriously, let's play with the gadgets and make jokes and run around and have a good time version? Which, if you had to choose one of these, both of you guys, if you had to choose one, which type of James Bond movie would you go with?
So like, I don't want people to hate me. Please, if you hear this, don't like stop listening to the podcast. But as not seeing very many and not being very far into that world, as far as just comparing the two, I would probably have to go with the modern funny like James Bond version. And I, don't get me wrong, I'm still like 100% all for the serious James Bond movies that we're getting now, but Kingsman I thoroughly enjoyed, and it kept me like, it would surprise me a lot of times with all of the violence and everything going alongside the humor and everything else that was happening. It was still very like serious and like crazy. All the stuff that would happen and them like in the training and everything like that was also very, very rigorous and very cool. But I just thought that it was like, I don't know, just like you could cut me just like freaking flailing at the end of this. Yeah, I'd say Kingsman for me was what I preferred. And like I said, it's really hard to actually make a judgment because I've seen one Kingsman movie and one ? James Bond movies. So like take that as you will with a huge old dollop of salt.
Okay, well, this makes me curious. So you're a Kingsman fan. Casey, you have a background with James Bond.
I have a background with a lot of like spy movies. Like, this is my jam.
Yeah, so you got the background with this. You're my age. what do you prefer? This is going to be like an interesting.
Oh man. Well, this is what's really hard, right? Is like, I prefer the Bourne series over James Bond. So that's like something for me. Like, I love James Bond, and I've watched James Bond. We've had since I can remember, and like I grew up watching with, oh gosh, who's that? That handsome devil who does it, who's like an old man now, Silver Fox, Pierce Bronson. Like, I remember Pierce Bronson, then Daniel Craig coming in, right? And like the Pierce Bronson films, they were kind of quirky. They kind of had like a lot of playfulness, but it was very unrealistic and very far out, right? Very similar to some parts of this series. But then you have like the more serious, like serious Bond, meathead, breaking shit down Bond that we have with Daniel Craig. And I like those too. Like, that's the thing, is like, I really like them. I think Daniel Craig's performance as James Bond has been outstanding. And then stepping back and comparing it to like the Bourne series, right? That's a very serious series. Like, it's very like dark. It's like the government is after an agent. Like, that's the type of stuff I enjoy. And so like this film actually was just that nice, warm, I don't know what you would call it, like pocket for me. I really liked it because like there were times I was like, oh gosh, this is a little bit out there, but I was entertained the entire time, which was good. And it still like had, like it had references to, like, for instance, like the name Lancelot and like Arthur and Merlin. Like, it resembles the Round Table. Like, it's classic knighthood stuff, and it's really cool, and I love that. And then they combine like the dapper British gents with a bespoke suit, and like it's really fun. And then having Colin Firth in here as like the lead guy. Who would have thought about that? Like, oh my goodness. He did so good as like that. I mean, he trained for like 9 months for this part too. So it wasn't like he was just like woke up one day and was like, oh, I'm going to do this. It was more like he worked at it and he became, which I thought was super cool.
And he did all of his own stunts in this.
Yeah. Amazing.
All of the fight scenes and everything. Like, guy's good.
Yeah. The guy is so impressive, and I love that about him. And he's really captivating, in my opinion, on what he's able to do. And his presence, like, he did the King's Speech. He's been in a lot of shows, right? Like, a lot of people know who he is. And this, I felt like, was a different role for him, and it was good. And then, like, Taron Egerton, is that his name, right? I think I butchered it, but he did great as well. And he's like, to me, he's still relatively new. I've seen him in a couple films. But he was good, and it was enjoyable. Like, his kind of hood rat upbringing to, like, he went from being like a British gopnik to being like this dapper British gent. And I love that. Like, he really showed who he was, and like his compassion and his caring through it. Like, man, if shooting your puppy is a failure, count me in every time, you know, because that was like super harsh. But it was, I don't know. I would go with a good mix of the two. Like, I would like a little bit more quirkiness in a Bond film, but also I've enjoyed the realism in it. And I would say, like, The Kingsman, I hope that they're able to continue and do a number of these films. I think this could be a universe worth exploring, because so many people get tired of beating the same dead horse with serious James Bond. And so, I don't know. Could continue to be good, but I would go with Kingsman any day over a James Bond film at this point.
It's a hard question to ask. Like, I know that me presenting it, because they're so different in tone and feeling and everything, and you have to be in kind of a mood for, you know, Skyfall or Casino Royale, because it's such so visceral and serious, and, you know, takes itself so serious. I lean towards that way, just because I just love those kind of, you know, dark. I don't know. I love the Kingsman series because I love the escapism of it all, but I just, there's something about a James Bond movie that's an event, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love about the James Bond series, is it's become an event franchise, whereas the Kingsman is a lot of fun. But have you heard anybody like complaining that the Kingsman isn't coming out this year? Not really. Have you heard people like complaining that they can't see the new James Bond movie? Oh yeah, all over the place. Everyone wants to see the new James Bond.
Well, and I wonder too, maybe this could be something, like, if it's my mood right now from being inside for so long and just needing joy of some sort and lightheartedness, because, like, it's really interesting how your mood can change about a film, right? Like how you're feeling about, even if it's your favorite film. Like, I can not watch shows sometimes that I love and have repeat watched because I'm just not in the mood. And I wonder if that's the thing. Maybe give me 6 months and having been outside exploring more, and I'll be like, oh freak, I could go for a Bond film because I love that, you know, neo-noir stuff and like noir, however you say it. Like, I love that kind of stuff. So maybe it's just the mood, but I'm with you. Like, I love the somberness and seriousness and actual like thought put into a James Bond film. But this one had some kind of dumb fun that kept me entertained the whole time.
Totally agree. So do you guys have any favorite characters, favorite moments? Casey, I do love how you brought up Eggsy's, you know, rags to riches story. I'm a sucker for this, what, streets of England, the way they talk. It reminds me of Guy Ritchie movies, you know, of just seeing these like British gangsters do their thing, these British... I eat up all of that. And if I could talk that way, if I could get away with like learning that slang, that British slang, I don't know, wherever they're from, I love it. I just loved listening to them talk throughout the entire thing. Eggsy's probably my favorite character. Well, no, I'm sorry. Colin Firth's character. Harry's my favorite. You can't beat the respect that you give that man. But is there anything specific that stands out to you guys? Any characters or moments in the movie that you absolutely just love?
Yeah, I could most definitely talk about like some of my favorite moments. Sorry, my dog just came in, but some of my favorite things, most definitely, like, I have to go back to Colin Firth's character. Like, he so classy, so dapper. What's really interesting too is the skill that he showed as an agent, right? Like, when we're talking about this being lighthearted and humorous, like, his character wasn't necessarily that part of this film in ways. Like, it wasn't dumb fun. He was a serious, somber figure. Like, he had an agent who had died under his watch. There were just things that happened to him that kind of turned him into this thing. He had his wit and he had his jabs, which was good, and his moves were freaking rad. That umbrella, that one-way umbrella where he could like use it as a shield and then like flip it around, that's some sweet tech right there. And then I also super enjoyed,
really quick going off of that, Casey, not to interrupt you, but I also love how he is in this society of upper class snobs and he is the only one who is like, you know, completely, you respect him, he's completely just, he's the peak of gentleman, you know, yet he understands that, you know, that's one of the themes of the movie is even in high society, don't group all of high society together because there are good people in high society, just as well as don't group quote unquote low society, you know, people who are in a less fortunate circumstance all as like gangsters or robbers or whatever, because there are those gems in that, in those societies as well. You know, don't look at someone and base their personality or base their personal, you know, them just on their circumstances, their surroundings. And I love that him in this organization of snobs is just like willing to look at these lower guys. You know, he recruits Eggsy's dad, and then he sees something in Eggsy and he like calls out Arthur, who's played by Michael Caine, for being just this rich snob, and to, you know, make a step into the 21st century. Stop being the rich snob that you are. There's worth everywhere. I don't know. It's really cool. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, I think that's perfect. I loved all those parts. I'm trying to think of, oh crap, the name of this guy I'm looking at right now. He's always a bad guy in other films. And it was Mark Strong as Merlin, right? Like, Mark Strong is a phenomenal bad dude and he is great at being bad. But him stepping into the role of Merlin, like where he's like kind of like the Q of this series, was super cool. Like, he was just like throwing out stuff, hacking, like being like, oh, this is my gun? No. You have your own set of weapons. Choose wisely, you know? And I think that's cool. Like, it was just a different role for him, in my opinion. And it was really cool. I enjoyed him as Merlin. And I, like I said, I loved the thought of the round table in this, and these guys are just knights of the round table, like kingsmen of the round table. And so I loved it. It was fun. Josh.
I was going to say the same thing about Mark Strong as Merlin. I definitely enjoyed him a lot, especially, I kind of already mentioned it before, but especially the whole, like the training and the the whatever it's called, like the process of eliminating people to get in, right? Just like him throughout that entire part, especially just like how like chill and like nonchalant he is, like when they flood the entire like their dormitory or whatever, and they're trying to get out, and he finally like punches his way out, and they all like fall into that room, and he's just like there taking notes, and he's like, congratulations on your like passing your first test, and he's like so chill about it, like doesn't even give an F, like he's so like funny but chill. Like I was almost mad that you said it, Casey, because that was the first thing that came to my mind on it. And I love, you know me, I love Samuel Jackson in anything, and I thought that he, like we mentioned before, he can put on a lot of different hats, and so I think it was really cool seeing him do a very different style of character than a lot of his other stuff.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson, he did phenomenal in this. And I think the reason he was so good is because of his counterpart. She was like, I just forgot her name all of a sudden.
Her name's Gazelle. She's played by, Sophia Boutella, I think is how you say her name. Boutella,
whatever. But I think that Samuel Jackson stood alone great, but he was better because of who he's partnered with. And I think that made all the difference in that duo, because she was like tech but also weapon but also the legs behind that's really funny to say, but
also he's also missing limbs, like
yeah, like
down for all of it.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that, it's more just like she was the push that he had to proceed, right? Like she was that like go-getter, like he was the ideas man a lot of ways, and she helped be the go-getter because he's like muscle. Yeah, the muscle. Thank you. That's the one.
Yeah. Can you imagine how many floors that Valentine had to replace, though, from those sword feet? Her walking around, like, chipping up that hardwood floor. That's not very, like, it's a nice little weapon, but, man, that is not very convenient.
Nope. But they are freaking dope. That's all I have to say about that.
They make for some really unique and cool action sequences. Just, I've never seen there is a movie, I don't remember what it was, where the guy has his leg is a gun. I think it might be like one of the Naked Guns or something like that. But other than that, I haven't ever seen an amputee use their leg as a weapon. It's really cool and unique. Speaking of the action.
Do you remember Planet Terror, where she has the machine gun leg?
Oh, yes. That is another one.
Yeah.
Sorry, I actually was just sort of looking through IMDb, see if I saw anything else cool before we move too far away from him. And I don't know, Vince is Vince, so he might already know this, but Vince, did you know that Mark Strong was also in The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance?
Yes, he plays the Emperor, right?
Ordon, yes.
Yeah, his voice is very recognizable. A lot of that cast is just like, oh, that's Sigourney Weaver. Oh, that's Taron Egerton. Because Taron Egerton plays Rianne, the main character in that. But a lot of those voices, Simon Pegg plays one of the Skeksis. Just the cast on Dark Crystal is just, that show is so well done.
The same cast, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, where were you going, Case?
No, I was just going to say, that brings us to one of the shining, you know, the highlights of the movies is the action sequences. This Matthew Vaughn, I don't know if it's thanks to him or if it's thanks to his stunt crew or whoever, but they put together some, especially for 2015, these action sequences were like top tier. One of my only nitpicks is now that I've seen the John Wick movies, these ones don't seem as impressive. But when you look at the way that they made these action sequences, they had an editor on set to make sure that everything was tied together perfectly, because there's a lot of like camera movements and spins and fade ins and fade outs. And so they would film it, import it into the computer. The editor would be sitting there on the computer, you know, stitching things together and then being like, oh, we actually need to redo that. Because the way that the camera moves, if you pay attention, it looks as if it's a one shot, but it's not. They just use a lot of camera tricks, you know, turning the camera into someone's back and then back out to do another thing. They do a lot of it, especially in the bar scene and the church scene. But it's just really, really cool and just kind of masterfully done. Which of the fight scenes did you guys enjoy most?
So there's obviously a lot of stuff that that goes on with all of these fights. And just to make it seem like a one shot is, like, number one, truly like insane and amazing with all of the editing and everything. But if you take it one step further, you know, like making things appear as a one shot is something that's very, very cool and like very hard to accomplish, you know, as shown by like Birdman and 1917 and everything. And even just to do it for these fights, to consider the number of people there, because, you know, you think about a typical fight scene and you just have, you know, some dudes in the middle of wherever, like, going at it, right? So everyone else is just sort of in the background doing whatever. But because of the movie and the premise of the movie and what's going on, literally everybody breaks into chaos. It's just like an insane all-out brawl everywhere. And even though the action focuses on specific people, everyone is fighting all the time. So I thought that it was very cool. I liked all of them. I will say that for me, the church scene kind of took it home. Like, I don't know what it was, just like the insane amount of like violence and everything that everyone was going through, but somehow this guy's like bobbing and weaving, taking people for cover, like just shooting, going crazy. Like, it was insane and it was brutal, but it was it was amazing, and I loved how they did it.
I'm on the same boat. I loved the church fight, but the bar fight was the one where they really started showing off their good camera work and just all about that. And the way he classily does it, you know, close everything out to mind your manners, you know, I think that was it.
What did he say? Manners maketh man.
Yeah, that one right there. And so that was it. Like, I just love kind of that introduction we really have to him doing this, because I didn't expect that. And that was nice. But it's one of those things that it kind of led into the church scene, which the church scene was very shocking to me. I was like, oh, whoa, that was not what I expected to happen. And it was amazing. It was fun. It was phenomenal. It was good. And then I think my favorite part of the movie was all the little fireworks that went off at the end. Those were fun. I thought that was a clever way. It also reminded me of playing Halo and turning on balloon mode. Is it is? Like popping head mode?
And like the confetti would go up?
Yeah. Yay! So that's how I felt about that. So I don't know. Like, I think that they really showed a lot of skill and a lot of potential. Like, I haven't seen the next film yet. I'm going to watch it. But I think that they've set it off on a good foot with these fight scenes. And they did a good balance of the fighting, the training, the story building, in my opinion. So it measured out really well. But my favorite would be I'm going to go with the bar scene, the church scene, and the final scene.
I don't know if I can decide. The church thing I remember being very controversial when this came out, and especially from 2020 lenses, you can kind of tell why, you know. Not only is it very brutal, but they say some things that are very offensive, and it makes you feel very okay with the amount of violence being done to these terrible, terrible people, you know, but it kind of offends everybody at once. I don't know. It's just everything involved in that church scene is just, it makes you uncomfortable, and the violence is so over the top. But for some reason, you're just like sitting there like smiling, like, wow, look at this. This is cool. You know, look at how well this is done. I don't like the use of, and like I said, it's the John Wick that's spoiling me, where John Wick, his fight scenes are so well choreographed and there's no like time manipulation or anything. I noticed in this time around that he uses a lot of fast motion in these scenes, where it kind of like cuts and then it moves really fast and then it slows down and then it moves really fast and it slows down. It's still really cool and it's still really impressive, but, you know, John Wick does it I don't know. There's something about John Wick that we're all suckers for here, right?
The red circle is still my favorite fight scene of all time these days.
Everything about John Wick is amazing. We all know that.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Casey. Watching Colin Firth do his thing in the bar, it's just so enjoyable. It's just you just respect, like I said, I've said this like four times, you just respect this man and watch him show his skills just even more. Watching Taron Egerton run through the halls flipping over soldiers and that kind of stuff is really good too. Just really well done. Really impressive. I like the movie.
I'm really glad you recommended it to us. Like, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was a really good time and it was more than I expected it to be. So thank you for that, for introducing me to this, because it's really good and it's fun. And I feel that, I don't know, I feel weird that I hadn't heard more about this with how much I enjoyed it, you know? But I don't know. It was good. I think more people should watch it. And I think I'm excited to see The King's Man, which is supposed to be about the first one, right? The originator of the...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I got one little thing we can... this shouldn't take too long. I know we're nearing the end here of the podcast. I wrote down my favorite posters on Galahad's wall. I guess they were newspaper clippings, because in the movie, in the lore, Galahad, for every time he saves the world, he takes one of the newspaper street clippings and hangs it on the wall. There's some really good ones in there, and I just feel like they needed to be highlighted because they make me laugh. So in no particular order, these are my favorite.
Okay.
Number one, the title is, "I swear, I thought they meant Coca-Cola." Number two, "Toe job to no job, minister finally sunk by sandals." Number three, werewolf seized at South End. Number four, "To pee or not to pee." Number five, "Titty titty bang bang." Number six, this one's really good. Number six, "Brad Pitt ate my sandwich." Number seven, "Naughty nun touched my bum." Number eight, "New Potter book found." And number nine, I think this one's my favorite, "Wonder Bra broke my boobs."
No way.
Fun little background Easter eggs. I hit pause and I read as many as I could, and then I jumped on the internet and there was a whole Reddit thread that other people are there appreciating it as well. What a way to, like, you know, remember what you did. You know, it's kind of like buying the newspaper of the day you were born.
I also want to hit on something really fast before we like end this and get out of context too far. I'm sorry for leading this down a weird little path, but what did you guys think about how they compared it to, like, actual, you said, Vince, earlier, how they compared it to like other movies, like other old spy films and stuff like that? What did you guys think about the, like, when, like, at the end, like, Valentine's like, "This ain't that kind of movie," you know, at the end when he, like, he kills him. Did you guys like that? How he, like, it's like they're self-aware of what's happening, yeah, type thing.
And that's what Matthew Vaughn said, was, you know, he's been wanting to make a spy movie for a long time. He actually dropped out of the Days of Future Past X-Men movie to make this movie because he's been wanting to do a James Bond for the modern era, is kind of what he said. You know, he said he wanted to do what he did. What's that?
I said he got the right end of that deal.
Yeah. He said he wanted to do for the spy genre what Kick-Ass did for the superhero genre. And I think he did. You know, he made it fun. He made it entertaining. He brought it back after how many years of Pierce Brosnan's subpar James Bond movies. And then the Daniel Craig ones are great, but it's very self-serious. And he just brought it back to being this fun, over-the-top spy flick. Yeah. I liked how self-referential it was, because, like, they did keep saying this isn't that kind of movie, but it was that kind of movie. In every way, it was that kind of movie.
Yeah.
Even to the, you know, the pun that he kind of throws out at the end of the movie, you know. I don't remember what he says to him, but maybe that was the pun. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember specifically, but he kind of, like, references it, and that's what I enjoyed as well. Like, think about it. Like, over the past number of years, we had, like, Get Smart, right? I don't really remember much of that. Inspector Gadget's not really a thing anymore. Nobody remembers that. And the Naked Gun series is dead. Like, there's no real good comedic, lighthearted spy things that happen. And this was just a good old, like I said, it's like a nice pocket of what I wanted. And it fit that mold. So I know it was good. Any last thoughts before we end this, guys?
I just wanted to obviously ask for a very non-spoilery brief review from Vince on the second one, because I am very interested in seeing it.
Don't remember a lot. Don't remember it being better than this one.
That's like sad, but I also completely understand that with how this one was, you know.
I remember what's his name?
Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I remember Channing Tatum being heavily, heavily in the marketing for the movie. Is barely in the movie. And then don't watch any of the trailers. I don't know. It might spoil it in the title sequence, but there's something that was spoiled that's supposed to be kind of a twist that was spoiled in the marketing. I don't remember like hating it, but I don't remember much about it either. So I think that kind of says something about it. Just wasn't super memorable, but disappointing maybe, but not terrible. I don't know. I need to watch it again and see what I think, because it's been since theater. I haven't seen it since the theater.
Wow.
In a long time. So maybe we can all watch it this week and do a short review on it at the beginning of our next episode.
Yeah, that could be fun. I would enjoy it.
Or don't watch it and we'll spoil it.
Yeah.
For whoever doesn't.
I'm going to watch it because I'm like intrigued now. I'm like, this is what I want to watch this week. So yeah. Well, Vince, thank you. Josh, thank you for joining me on an episode. But thank you guys for tuning in to the Pause, Write, and Play podcast. We appreciate you guys joining us and listening to us and really being a part of our community. We're trying to kind of look into how we can grow this and improve it. I hope this was a fun episode. So, yeah, check us out on social at Pause, Write, and Play. Check us out on Twitter, Pause, Write, and Play, and prppodcast.com. And also, we're on YouTube. Don't forget that. And so, yeah, let's take it away from here. And remember, manners maketh man.